Welcome, everyone, to Potholes and Politics, local main issues from A to Z. I'm your co-host, Rebecca Graham, and I am here to introduce you to your newest co-host, Rebecca Lambert. We're going to get to know her a little bit today and also prepare you for how we're going to approach the podcast in the upcoming legislative session. So stay tuned. So we're rolling out the new podcast co-hosts, which are Rebecca Lambert and Rebecca Graham. For those of you who haven't tuned in yet, yep, I've been here since the beginning. Yep, it was a mutual project and Neil has moved on, but we now have Rebecca Squared in the house.
Woo-woo.
I think it's only fitting that we use a little bit of this episode to talk about our new colleague, Rebecca Lambert. Rebecca, you know, we haven't had an actual solid time to sit down and get to know each other very well either. So would you go in and share a little bit about your background and your education and how you got to MMA?
Sure. It was kind of a disjointed path to MMA. I started my municipal career at the Augusta Water District and then moved on to the Winthrop Utilities District as the office manager. And then I took a short break to try a new field, and that didn't quite work. And then I got a job at a law firm and worked there for a while, and it was in the legislative practice group. So that was my introduction into the whole legislative realm. Then when I left that job, I came to work at MMA, and I started as the executive office assistant. So I worked for the executive director and was like the liaison for the governance boards and, you know, kind of just did whatever was needed by the executive director, and the boards filled in wherever. So then
typical bootstrap way of doing stuff, jack of all trades.
Right. In the meantime, I was going to school to earn my bachelor's degree in public administration, which I earned in 2019, and just really felt like I wanted to give more. I love working at MMA. It was really the people that I work with and all the board members, they've all been really engaged and helpful. And, you know, they really are dedicated to what they do. So it's, you know, it's a great atmosphere and culture to work in. So I wanted to hopefully help MMA in a different way. So then this newly created position of a municipal issues specialist opened up and I applied. And here I am working for the advocacy and communications group, doing a little advocacy. My first time with that, this session, writing articles and newsletters and that kind of stuff.
Really excited to have you on board. And the newsletter has been really interesting because so much of advocacy's time is actually spent outside this building, that it's a really good reconnection to know all the other amazing municipal supportive work that is happening all over this building. And I recognize how much of that I'm out of touch with now that we're doing a much more integrated way of communicating with each other. And you're a key piece to that. So your internal newsletter is pretty awesome. Oh, I'm hearing the bell calling the legislature in.
Whoops, let me turn that off.
Double tasking. That's pretty much norm here too as well. One of the key things rolling forward that we're going to try to do because of that bell is the shift and pivot to advocacy that's really on a weekly basis with our legislative bulletin. You've been a part of that process in the past. You were a key editor during our COVID time, but now you'll be able to actually contribute a lot of what happened in the committee and what is coming down the pike for our legislative bulletin reboots, which I think we're also going to use this podcast for. We're going to kind of recap everything so folks can either listen to the podcast on Monday or they can subscribe to our legislative bulletin by reaching out to our associate, Laura Ellis at lellis@mimon.org. You can check out our homepage if you need to get that information again. But we publish it on a weekly basis. And the key to the legislative bulletin is to talk about what happened in a public hearing on a bill that is of municipal interest or what happened in a work session. So we have, from what I understand, about 2,300 bills that have been introduced by legislators. Some of them are only bill titles at this point, but we hope eventually, they will all have some sort of language attached.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. I think it is. But I think you'll get as passionate about supporting those folks that you've already been really tied and connected to in other ways on our governance structure. Usually about 30% of those bills have some sort of municipal impact. So it is going to be a bit like drinking from a fire hose for you this session. But I think you got it.
I think it's really exciting that we're using so many new platforms to get the word out. I think everyone receives information in a different way. So having something that they can listen to or read is really good option. Several different avenues to get the word out.
I think it also helps the creative process too. I enjoy doing the legislative bulletin, even though the deadline is really tight and sometimes the hearings go late. So, you know, our Friday mornings are pretty hectic, but I think it helps us debrief. I think this will help us debrief and distill that information in a new way for folks to understand about. One of the bigger challenges we have is getting legislators to understand that there's a constitutional requirement that if they expand the duties of local government, either in any significant way, and the intent is for it to be liberally construed, whether they're creating a new duty or whether they're expanding their existing duties, is that they have a requirement to fund 90% of that impact on the municipality. Because otherwise that falls upon the property taxpayers. And if the state has weighed in, ideally, then it's of statewide, not just local significance. And there should be some funds following that. That doesn't already always happen. They have the opportunity, as you'll see, to say that it's a voluntary thing, or to change the language as such that it doesn't become a mandate. Although in practice, essentially, municipal government is all about doing exactly what is written in law. So it becomes a mandate by obligation, I guess. As we all know,
a moral obligation of sorts.
Yes. And our duties are really widespread at the municipal level. So even something that comes out as a bill that you don't think touches municipalities does have a big impact. And you've been going through the LD list. Have you seen a bill that might need to be in the municipal purview that wouldn't necessarily have municipality written all over it?
Yeah, actually, I was looking at the list and LD 93 stuck right out to me. It's a bill that would require public buildings to have a diaper changing station installed in them, which could have municipal impact depending on what their buildings are like. There's a lot of historical buildings that town halls are in that have specific requirements of how they can be altered and constructed upon. Mm. So there are different ways that these laws impact municipalities.
Yeah. If you think about public restrooms, they definitely fall into the municipal purview and in pretty much all of our buildings are public buildings. And yeah, so this is where language comes into play and is extremely important. So I just pulled up LD 93 and it does look like there are some exceptions if the cost of construction is not feasible, which I can certainly see in some of those historic buildings that expanding the construction, they may have one disabled toilet and it may be on that ground main entrance level, but they might not have them on other buildings. And it kind of looks like the exemptions in that language, they need to be on the same floor. And I think about Ellsworth City Hall building, the bathroom is actually in between two floors. So I'm not sure how you would have an alternate if it's kind of in between floors. But that's what the language is really important and to be able to vet and to understand, because I think you can add that as here are some things to consider because it does have that municipal impact. And while, you know, there's a caveat that says cost of construction is not feasible as an exemption, municipal officials generally want to do what is right in to the maximum extent that they can. So eventually that will become a norm. But, you know, would it be enough to not have it on the same floor, but at least to have one that was accessible for somebody with a disability in order to actually access the diaper changing station? That'll be something that comes out in the public hearing.
And I know you see a lot of infant changing stations around in different public restrooms, but
yeah, and some of the safety rails and just accessibility. If someone was trying to get into that diaper changing station with a wheelchair, I mean, how does what we typically see in public restrooms, does that work? I would argue probably there's a lot of barriers there, but you don't know until you're in that situation what those barriers are. But I can definitely see it being a problem in some of those old buildings and not a desire to not comply, but some ways that we might need to think about how we can roll this out differently.
Absolutely.
And that language piece is really key. So one of the things that you'll hear us lament quite frequently are concept drafts. And a concept draft is usually a bill title only. Sometimes there's a description of the bill and what the intent of that bill is, but the legal language is vital and important to understand, does this actually affect municipalities or does it not? So as we're going through and providing a list of bills that we think are municipally impactful to our legislative policy committee, concept drafts pose a real problem because the concept of some bills is something everyone can get behind and quite frequently is aspirational. And it's really the meat and bones is the legal language to figure out whether or not that aspiration is actually delivered by that bill. And often you'll find out that it is not. It says the title is grand, but it actually doesn't deliver when you get into that legal language. I can see two places that don't scream municipality. However, two of the bills that have been printed, LD 40 and LD 48, both have to deal with amending the cannabis rules. All of the duties around specific regulation do impact municipalities who have opted in to allow those sales. But LD 40 just says that it's going to amend the cannabis law. Well, in what way? Which part? You know, right. Is it the municipal part? Is it going to somehow change the ordinance structure that municipalities have adopted in order to allow some of this industry to exist within their communities? It has to be done in balance. So is it going to change that? We don't know. We don't know what that is. But then if you look at LD 48, which again is an act to amend the cannabis laws, it digs into some specific language and it modifies some specific sections of law. Municipal officials on our LPC can actually go through and vet and say, yep, okay, so we're seeing this as a problem, or nope, we're not seeing this as a problem, or this kind of impacts how we have structured this particular ordinance, and here's why. And that feedback's really crucial. The law of unintended consequences is often what our legislative battles are when we get to the legislature. So those are some key pieces that I think you'll be really experiencing this session in a more tangible way.
Oh, I'm excited to dig in.
Me too. And I think those relationships that you've developed with municipal officials already in understanding municipal utilities and districts, you have all those connections. So that's going to be great. We're really lucky to have you on board. And I'm excited you're going to be my co-host.
Rebecca Squared.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Rebecca, tell me how somebody is going to tell us what they'd like to listen to on this podcast or send us any questions.
You didn't prepare me for this question.
I know. Come on.
Well, they can go to our website, www.memun.org, and they can subscribe to our Potholes in Politics podcast or our publication, the Legislative Bulletin, to just stay up on all the happenings in the Maine legislature.
Yes, which is going to be key. And we send that out electronically every Friday. You can actually go on a number of podcast services and subscribe to our podcast. So use your favorite podcast streaming service, and you can find Potholes in Politics. And it should be on there, but you can always listen directly at our link that is on our webpage as well.
You can just Google it.
You could. And in there is also a link so you can send us your questions via mmapodcast@memun.org. And that email should be coming to both of us pretty soon. I think I need to reach out to IT and get you on that list, but you can submit your questions, what you'd like to see featured as we go forward, although we're going to be focused really heavily on the legislative season until this is out. Hopefully, we're going to be doing it every week. That's the intent. Every Monday, we're going to send out something really quick, and we hope that you will all join us and continue to listen.
And hopefully, I get my legs underneath me. Just reach out every once in a while and make sure I'm still alive.
Okay. Those of us gritty veterans will be like, it's okay. The legislature, you know. Now that I have significantly freaked you out about the legislature starting and our looming LPC process and drinking from a fire hose of municipally relevant bills, I think we need to take a time out and actually pull in something fun this episode and maybe even bring in some of our colleagues. But I'm going to start by getting to know Becky a little bit better. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay. Where is your favorite vacation spot?
Any place warm.
You're a beach girl?
Yeah, I like warm climates. I like mountains. I like beach. I like water. I like everything. I just like it to be warm.
Yeah, not so much.
You don't like it warm?
No, I actually like cold weather.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's why they keep sending me into deep Siberia, but I like cold weather. I don't like being hot at all, but I love water and all water sports. So I'm big into that. So it's kind of ironic. All right. So SFR team, I should clarify, it's actually advocacy team. Laura, Kate, Becky, and Rebecca. Fun fact, something that is non-legislative, because we're going to need to figure out how to keep ourselves sane. What binge-worthy program are you watching right now? Or would you recommend?
I'm almost embarrassed to admit that I've been watching this pet show about these people that train animals and pets. And there's this woman that was traveling across the country with a turtle and a pit bull to go to the ugliest dog competition. And it had a cleft lip. So it had this tooth that went up its nose.
Did it win?
No, it didn't.
There was something uglier?
Yes. There was, who was it? I don't remember which dog it was now, but they had all kinds of different ones. Scamp the Tramp. And I mean, they were some really ugly dogs, tongues that just hung out of their mouth and just kind of flopped around a little. Really strange. Never seen any dogs. But anyway, yes, I have a 5-year-old.
I watched Firefly Lane, which I liked recently. And then I started Friday night. I started Ginny and Georgia
with Jane Fonda and Frankie and something.
Frankie and Grace.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Love, I like that one. Love that one.
That was funny. My thing was Bad Sisters. If you see it's on Apple TV and it's not for the 5-year-old, definitely not for the 5-year-old. But it's wicked dark and funny. And it starts with a murder. And then the whole series is about trying to figure out which one of the sisters did it. It's set in Ireland. So it's just awesome. Highly recommend.
What's the name of that one?
Bad Sisters.
Bad Sisters. I have to check that out. Dead to Me is another dark one that was really good. It starts with a murder.
That was a good one. I saw that one.
Kate?
So I like documentaries, and the last time we went to Florida, I watched one on the plane called Set. It was about this competition, like crazy, crazy competition about people who do table settings, and they're judged at this like Orange County Fair. It was unbelievable. Got sucked right into it, and all these people like setting tables, and they had rulers, and it had to be an inch from the here and an inch from there. It was insane, but it got completely absorbed into it.
Like Hyacinth Bouquet on steroids.
Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. Those can be our SFR recommendations for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Send us yours.
Any true crime too. All about the true crime.
Absolutely.
Me too.
The darker the better. Give me all the
Bad
details.
Sisters. You gotta see Bad Sisters. You'll love it. There we are then.
That's right.
I'll see you ladies tomorrow. I use that term loosely.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Well, thanks for tuning in again to another episode of Potholes and Politics. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share this podcast with all of your friends who are interested in municipal government. We hope you'll tune in again. And wish you the best legislative session ever.